I thought you'd get that. Well done, she called over, pointing at the captain's badge on Harry's chest. Tell me when you call trials.
Don't be stupid, said Harry. You don't need to try out. I've watched you play for 5 years.
You mustn't start off like that, she said warningly. For all you know, there's someone much better than me out there. Good teams have been ruined before now because captains just kept playing the old faces or letting in their friends.
Ron looked a little uncomfortable and began playing with the fanged frisbee Hermione had taken from the fourth-year student. It zoomed around the common room, snarling and attempting to take bites of the tapestry. Crookshank's yellow eyes followed it, and he hissed when it came too close. An hour later, they reluctantly left the sunlit common room for the Defense Against the Dark Arts classroom 4 floors below. Hermione was already queuing outside, carrying an armful of heavy books and looking put upon.
We got so much homework for runes, she said anxiously when Harry and Ron joined her. A 15-inch essay, 2 translations, and I've got to read these by Wednesday.
Shame, yawned Ron.
You wait, she said resentfully. I bet Snape gives us loads.
The classroom door opened as she spoke, and Snape stepped into the corridor, his sallow face framed as ever by 2 curtains of greasy black hair. Silence fell over the queue immediately.
Inside, he said.
Harry looked around as they entered. Snape had imposed his personality upon the room already. It was gloomier than usual, as curtains had been drawn over the windows and was lit by candlelight. New pictures adorned the walls, many of them showing people who appeared to be in pain, sporting grisly injuries or strangely contorted body parts. Nobody spoke as they settled down, looking around at the shadowy, gruesome pictures.
I have not asked you to take out your books, said Snape, closing the door and moving to face the class from behind his desk.
Hermione hastily dropped her copy of Confronting the Faceless back into her bag and stowed it under her chair.
I wish to speak to you, and I want your fullest attention.
His black eyes roved over their upturned faces, lingering for a fraction of a second longer on Harry's than anyone else's.
You have had 5 teachers in this subject so far, I believe. You believe, like you haven't watched them all come and go, Snape, hoping you'd be next, thought Harry scathingly. Naturally, these teachers will all have had their own methods and priorities. Given this confusion, I am surprised so many of you scraped an OWL in this subject. I shall be even more surprised if all of you manage to keep up with the NEWT work, which will be much more advanced.
Snape set off around the edge of the room, speaking now in a lower voice. The class craned their necks to keep him in view.
The dark arts, said Snape, are many, varied, ever-changing and eternal. Fighting them is like fighting a many-headed monster, which, each time a neck is severed, sprouts a head even fiercer and cleverer than before. You are fighting that which is unfixed, mutating, indestructible.
Harry stared at Snape. It was surely one thing to respect the dark arts as a dangerous enemy, another to speak of them as Snape was doing, with a loving caress in his voice.
Your defences, said Snape a little louder, must therefore be as flexible and inventive as the arts you seek to undo. These pictures,
he indicated a few of them as he swept past,
give a fair representation of what happens to those who suffer. For instance, the Cruciatus curse.
He waved a hand toward a witch who was clearly shrieking in agony.
Feel the Dementor's kiss.
A wizard lying huddled and blank-eyed, slumped against a wall.
Or provoke the aggression of the Inferius,
a bloody mass upon the ground.
Has an Inferius been seen, then?
Said Parvati Patil in a high-pitched voice.
Is it definite? Is he using them?
The Dark Lord has used Inferi in the past, said Snape. Which means you would be well advised to assume he might use them again. Now,
He set off again around the other side of the classroom toward his desk, and again they watched him as he walked, his dark robes billowing behind him.
You are, I believe, complete novices in the use of nonverbal spells. What is the advantage of a nonverbal spell?
Hermione's hands shot into the air. Snape took his time looking around at everybody else, making sure he had no choice, before saying curtly,
Very well, Miss Granger. Your adversary has no warning about what kind of magic you're about to perform, said Hermione, which gives you a split-second advantage.
An answer copied almost word for word from the Standard Book of Spells, Grade 6, said Snape dismissively.
Over in the corner, Malfoy sniggered.
But correct in essentials. Yes, those who progress to using magic without shouting incantations gain an element of surprise in their spellcasting. Not all wizards can do this, of course. It is a question of concentration and mind power, which some...
His gaze lingered maliciously upon Harry once more.
Lack.
Harry knew Snape was thinking of their disastrous occlumency lessons of the previous year. He refused to drop his gaze, but glowered at Snape until Snape looked away.
You will now divide, Snape went on, into pairs. One partner will attempt to jinx the other without speaking. The other will attempt to repel the jinx in equal silence. Carry on.
Although Snape did not know it, Harry had taught at least half the class, everyone who had been a member of the DA, how to perform a shield charm the previous year. None of them had ever cast the charm without speaking, however. A reasonable amount of cheating ensued. Many people were merely whispering the incantation instead of saying it aloud. Typically, 10 minutes into the lesson, Hermione managed to repel Neville's muttered Jelly Legs jinx without uttering a single word, a feat that would surely have earned her 20 points for Gryffindor from any reasonable teacher, thought Harry bitterly, but which Snape ignored. He swept between them as they practiced, looking just as much like an overgrown bat as ever, lingering to watch Harry and Ron struggling with the task. Ron, who was supposed to be jinxing Harry, was purple in the face, his lips tightly compressed to save himself from the temptation of muttering the incantation. Harry had his wand raised, waiting on tenterhooks to repel a jinx that seemed unlikely ever to come.